Somebody say amen. Amen. All right, I want to start reading here at Ephesians chapter 6 and starting verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand. Therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, underline that one. Breastplate of righteousness. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I'll stop right there. All right, now, I like what it says here, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And that's that whole idea of the grace of God. That where he is taking you, you can't win without him. That's good news, folks. I'm not trying to do something without God. I'm trying to make sure I have God. You know, the last thing you want to do is be in a place that God didn't send you. So in this, let's do a little study tonight. I listen to my tapes, and y'all have me end up preaching. And that's not exactly the place. This tonight's supposed to be Bible study. Every now and then I drop back into my preaching mode, but we're going to resist that. We're going to really just take our time and do some teaching, because I want you to get an understanding of what I'm going to say tonight. He said here in verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, this whole idea of righteousness, it means right standing with God. Right standing with God. And Adam was in right standing with God. Adam and God were not two. They were one. It's kind of like a husband and wife get married, they become one. And that as they operated, Adam had what we call perfect fellowship, meaning that he flowed directly with God. Remember, God told him to name the animals, and he named them, and God said, okay, that's just right. Now, what is he doing? He's not creating the names himself, because we were never meant to be sovereign. We were meant to have an overlord. So God is downloading into Adam. Come on, computer folks. Downloading into Adam. And Adam is spitting it out. Got it? So it's coming from God. God had named the animals before the world was created. So the names were already there. And Adam had to now download those names and then name those animals and so forth. But he wasn't doing it, you know, without God. Just wasn't, Shaniqua, she does so far, whatever it is. I mean, we just didn't think of something. I mean, the name is all right if God gave you that name. That my point to you, don't think of something because it sounds pretty. Boy, that really flows. I like that. Humpty Dumpty, you know, or whatever it is. What you're trying to do is get a name that God is naming, because the name was already there. I'm going to teach on dreams, and I was listening to a lady the other day, and she was talking about how many dreams we have in a night. 12 to 20 some dreams a night. And how these dreams most times are God trying to speak to us because he can't speak to us when our eyes are open. See? Well, that's a whole nother thing. I'm going to teach some on that, all right? Now, so I'm dealing with this idea here of the breastplate of righteousness. Now, breastplate protects your what? Your heart, okay? So it's interesting how he put this righteousness piece next to your heart. Because righteousness is the nature of God. It's the nature of God. It's not the way you act. See? If I could just act righteous. No. You get the nature, then the nature helps you act right. So I got to get the nature of God. Got to get God's nature inside of me. And the only way I can do that is be born again. And that's why over in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 10, and he says here, I just want to read one scripture to you. In verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have the zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, are going about to establish their own righteousness, and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believe. See, this they're trying to establish their own righteousness. They're trying to be holy enough that they'll be righteous. But he says over in the Old Testament, and I think it repeats it over in the New Testament, all your righteousness is as filthy rags. They don't use your righteousness. Jesus has a name, the name above all names. So when you're casting out devils, whose name do you do it in? I do it in his name. God doesn't want you to use human love. He wants you to use what? The God kind of love. So use his love. He doesn't want you to use your faith. He said, hey, have the faith of God. Though he doesn't want you to use your righteousness because it's not adequate. And so you and I have to receive his righteousness by faith. Now, once we're born again, we have been made the righteousness of God in him. That's what he says over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So he made you righteous. Well, I don't feel righteous. It's not a feeling. It will eventually end up in you having some behavior and feelings and so forth about it, but when you receive it, it's not a feeling. Now, I'm going to tell you why I'm mentioning this. When I was trying to get a message from God, and I was in Minnesota, and we had started church there, a little church, and I was still with the company, IBM, when I was working in computers. And so that night, I was trying to get a message. It was Saturday night, and the message Sunday morning was time I was supposed to preach. But I didn't have anything. And I got desperate, and I started crying. And I don't think it was a real cry. I think it was kind of a fake cry. And I said, you know, Lord, well, you know, your people need a message. Lord, he said, what are you doing? I straightened up, and I said, well, I'm trying to get a message. He said, is that the way you come before me? Well, the righteous, the Bible says, over in Proverbs, are as bold as a lion. in Proverbs 28 and verse 1. They're bold as a lion. So he said, how are you supposed to come for me? Well, the book of Hebrews says this. You're supposed to come boldly to the throne of grace. Now, why? Because you are right. You're not trying to get right. You're already righteous. He's trying to get you to act on the righteousness. Now notice, once I did that, the message from God flowed. Now what kept it from flowing? Over in 1 John chapter 5 and look at verse 12. 1 John chapter 5 and look at verse 17. I said 12, pardon me. Verse 17. All unrighteousness is sin. Now, what does sin do for or with the believer in respect to God? What does sin do? It'll separate you from God. What did it do for Adam and Eve? What did it do for them? It's separated from God because there's no sin in God. Sin can't touch God. God will not tolerate sin. He can't handle sin. So when you and I accept his righteousness, then he accepts you on the basis of his righteousness, not your own. So if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father. And the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of what? All the blood will just flow. So you're not righteous because of the goody-goody way you act. That's called holiness. Righteousness is the nature, and if you receive his nature, it will cause you to walk holy. I'll say that again. If you receive his nature, it will cause you to walk holy. For example, income tax time. Okay? It's not here yet. Why are you getting all excited? Okay. All right. So here's income tax time. So it comes. So fill out the tax form. Boy, I sure want to get me some return here on this tax, man. Get me a refund. Refund. All right. I'm gonna just fudge on this a little bit. You got what I'm saying? Well, no. Righteousness knows that if I'm short, yes, I can come to the Father, yes, and request what I need, yes, without cheating on the form. You will act right. Now, righteousness too is what I call in the same category as royalty. This is where it gets a little bit deeper now. One of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to tutor you from the slave life that we lived under the curse into this new life as an offspring of the King. It's one of the jobs. The job of the Holy Spirit. He's going to be talking to you. Now, just stay with me. About your actions, about the way you're talking, about your deportment and how you carry yourself. He's going to be talking to you about the way you think. He's going to be talking about you, about the way, the words you use. All of this now because he's making royalty out of you. I have a series called Revelation of Royalty. I think I go into some of it there. But I'm going to teach some more on this because I'm going to show you the power of it. Look over in James chapter 5. And over in James chapter 5, he said in verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you might be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now watch this now, because he goes on down and lets you see the power that you're working with through righteousness. Next verse. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. This is not in your community. This is on the earth. Now, this is a person walking in righteousness. Next part. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. See, once you are walking in righteousness, you don't have to feel whether your prayer has been answered. That's why it's so dangerous. Because the faith that you have flows optimally through righteousness. Boy, I'm preaching better than you said amen, boy. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. Simon Peter, and servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. See, when righteousness comes on board, the next thing that happens is faith is restored. See, faith is restored. Now you would be able to do things that you never would be able to do because not only of your faith, because you've got righteousness that operates on the level where you don't have to feel anything. See, my ear, you can put on all the perfume you want, but my ear can't smell it. The reason why? That smell is off limits to my ear. My ear is in another whole area and it can't smell it. See? Your senses can't feel faith. Because it's in a whole nother area. And because people have not been walking in righteousness, then they've not been walking in faith. And I'm saying that because how many things God has in heaven that should be on the earth right now? I can tell you right now, for the most part, most of you, goo gobs. Yeah, that's the wrong word. I mean, that's old Southern word, means a lot. Buku, praise God, that's French, hallelujah. What do you say in Spanish? How do you say in Spanish? Mucho, praise God. My point to you is all of that's for you, but it only can be transferred by faith. And the problem is not trying to develop more faith. The problem is that you can work and work at it and so work and work at it and so forth. But the root is righteousness. That we are still looking at our own selves, trying to qualify that we act good enough for our that have a good relationship with God, so God would like us and so God would do things for us. No. Whatever God's going to do for you, he's already done. Your faith only transfers it. So wouldn't it be just like the devil to hold you in unrighteousness? To try to make you try to act right to get it. Now, I am not in any way endorsing sin. Because the Bible says that if your heart condemns you, then you don't have, look what it says in 1 John and chapter 2, praise God. No, 1 John chapter 4, chapter 3, pardon me. I'll get it. In verse 20. And look what it says. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Check it out. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then we have what? Confidence. What's another word for confidence? Faith. See? So you're doing something you know you shouldn't be doing, then the heart condemns, and then the heart condemns, now the force of faith doesn't work, and you don't get the result. You are still righteous. You're just acting in a way that's contrary to your faith working. Now, let's just say that because it takes righteousness to rule this planet. Let's look at Ecclesiastes. Now, that's Ecclesiastes, not Ecclesiastics. Okay? I've heard people pronounce it. I said, where did they get that from? That is not what that word says. All right? It's kind of like the word axe. It's ask. Okay, look what it says here in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse, my dad was a stickler of words. Boy, I'm telling you, if he heard some of my sermons, he'd say, son, who taught you that kind of language? So I got to drop back. I got to get back into my royalty. Look what it says here, verse 16. Woe to the land, O land, woe unto thee, O land, when the king is a who? Child. And thy princes eat in the morning. Now he's talking about something that he was talking about earlier in this chapter. Let's go to it. It's found in verse 5. And there is an evil, verse 5. And there is an evil which I have seen under the sun, as an error which proceedeth from the ruler. Watch this. Folly is set in great dignity, and the rich set in a low place. I have seen servants upon horses, and princes walking as servants upon the earth. Now, God calls this evil. I've seen servants upon horses. Look what he says. I've seen servants upon horses and the princes walking as servants upon the earth. He's saying the ones that should be on the horse are acting like a slave. Now that's the enemy's work because he knows that there is an esteem that God has planned for you to have. It's a mindset of superiority, not arrogance, that you see yourself superior. Superior to what? You see yourself, we're not talking about people, you see yourself superior to disease. You see yourself superior to a storm. You see yourself superior to a down economy. Are you following what I'm saying? Superiority consciousness. Unrighteousness means that I see myself inferior. I'm inferior to you. And the enemy does it. He tries to do things to help you maintain a sense of inferiority even though you get born again. He tries to make things happen that are out from under your control. There should be nothing in this earth that is out from under your control. That's called freedom. Not a thing in that. You think about it. The economy can't regulate you. Psalm chapter 37 and verse 19. In Psalm 37 and verse 19, he says about your provision. He said, you shall not be ashamed in the evil time. In the days of famine, you're going to have more than enough. Amen. Say amen to that. Amen. What happened when Jesus came up on the storm? What did he do? Well, let's go over there. Praise God. Are y'all with me here? Now, I'm talking about spiritual warfare, and it starts in your where? Your mind, and then it drops down into your heart. And you've got to first put on that breastplate of righteousness, and you've got to put up the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation so that you can guard your heart and your mind so that you can do what God's called you to do. Let's look at Mark chapter 4. Over in Mark chapter 4, he said in verse 35, and the same day, when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over to the other side. When they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so it was now full. Now, if you would, envision something coming in your mind that has finally broke through. Something evil, an evil thought, and so forth. That's why people can't keep looking at pornography. Because if you look at it enough, it'll break through. And if it breaks through, what happens is now you're not in control of it. It has just possessed you. So you got to get that out in Jesus' name. I command every porno spirit to come out of God's people, whether they're in here, whether they're in the net, wherever they are, in Jesus' name. Now, I'm not saying you have that. I just say it just in case somebody's got it. Amen. See, you can't get all thrown out by it, because if you do, that's inferiority. You got to stop that. You got to stop that. All right, now I'm only saying that because it's not good for you, because it'll lead you into something that perhaps you don't want to do. Say amen to that. And you know, you got all this out here today. You go on the internet, you know, TV, you can watch it, you can turn to something, and all of a sudden, whoa, what was that? You know what I'm talking about. Man. So I'm saying, you got to guard your what? Mind. You got to guard that mind, see? And what comes in through the eye gate goes first into that mind. All right? But look what it says. And a great, there rose, verse 37, there was a great storm of wind. The waves beat into the ship. It was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him. And they said to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? All right? Teacher, don't you care that we're about to drown? That's what one translation says. All right. Then he says, and he arose and rebuked the wind, said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased. It was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no what? Faith. How is it that you have no faith? All right. Let's just look at a couple of things here. Now, Jesus went to sleep. Okay. Now, here's what I think. You can't prove me wrong, so you just may as well listen to what I got to say. I think that the devil tried to take advantage of Jesus going to sleep, because he figured he could overwhelm those disciples. He could get them. He knew he couldn't get Jesus. You know he knew he couldn't get Jesus, because when Jesus got to the other side, the man who was loaded with demons, who was controlling that coast, who the devil was using to spawn a storm to come, he came and ran up to Jesus and bowed to him and told him, don't throw me out of this country. So you know the demon knew Jesus and knew the power that Jesus was carrying. So he waited till Jesus went to sleep. And now he came after them. Now, question. Were they in the will of God? Yes. Yes, they were in the will of God. He told them to go over there. Didn't he tell them to go over there? Were they going? Yes. Did the devil try to sink their boat? Yes. My point to you is, isn't it interesting how Satan can launch an attack against you doing the perfect will of God. Come on now. Try to cut off your finances. Come on. Try to cut off your family. Am I right about it? If he can launch an attack against your travel, your destiny, your going from one place to another, could he launch an attack against your health?
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Can pick you out as a target and say, now give that one cancer. And that's why you cannot accept anything that's not written in this book for you. I know you go to the physicians. I know what they may say and so forth, but it ain't true. The truth is, by his stripes, you are healed. Now, you go out here and you say something about me or hear somebody talking about me, and that Bill Winston, now he's talking about everybody healed and so forth. I didn't say it. I'm the messenger. I'm the one that's reading you what the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has left in the New Testament that is your inheritance, that if you take it and walk by it by faith, you'll be delivered from this just like you'll be delivered from that. I don't care what the doctor said. I don't care what he just said about your ovaries. I don't care what he just said about, it doesn't make any difference. And you can take the scriptures of by his stripes you are healed and realize that the first place that that scripture goes is in your spirit. In your spirit. Now, why do you want to keep condemnation out? Keep condemnation out because if you want your spirit to process that seed, that word, then you got to get infirmity out. You got to say, wait a minute, Father, if I missed it in any way, you said in your word that we can confess it, you're faithful to forgive it, and cleanse me of what? All unrighteousness, so I can be righteous again, because I need faith to work right now. Say amen to that. And then when you do that, it comes into your spirit first, and then the next place it works out to, when it works through your spirit, what is the next thing that it comes to in your body? Your soul. Say soul. It comes to your soul and it works through your soul, and the next place it hits is your flesh, and it will cleanse anything on the flesh that's out of line. You don't need to have a diagnosis. All thing you know is your flesh is not acting right, and you get the fruit of the Spirit of God by his word in your spirit, moves through your soul and then to your body. Now, in the process of moving through your soul, through faith and patience, you inherit the promise. Come on, let's go over there. Let's go over to Hebrews and Hebrews chapter 6, please. Hebrews chapter 6. All right, look at verse 12. Are you with me? Now look what it says. Then that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through what?
Faith,
come on, and patience inherit the promises. Now patience is not sitting by the dock of the bay, wait no time to roll away. That's not patience. Patience means to be consistently consistent. It means while you're limping, you're still healed. Because it's working its way out to your flesh. Now, that's where you now have got to understand, you got to be willing to be ridiculed. Glory to God. You've got to realize that just like healing will work from the inside out, because healing is spiritual with God, prosperity will work from the inside out. So you don't have a dime and you say, all my needs are met, praise God. I have abundance and no lack. See, you're saying that cousin Leroy don't understand that. Can you stand to be blessed? Now, if you look back at Mark chapter 3, is this the right group I'm talking to tonight? This is Jesus now. Are you ready? Verse 21. Now, here's Jesus. I mean, he's doing things that his people are saying, man, that's kind of a weird guy right there. Look at verse 21. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him. For they said, what's the modern day term? He's crazy. He's gone off the deep end. His elevator don't go all the way to the top. Now watch this. We're still dealing with this. Verse 31. Look at verse 31. There came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him, keep going, and the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brother are without, they're outside looking for you. And he said to them, who is my mother? Or who are my brethren? And he looked round about on them which sat about him and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. Now everybody thinking he crazy. See, he's not operating on the level of the reason, of the logical, of the slave mentality. He's going on up, and he's operating on the level of a king of the universe, of royalty in this whole, over this whole earth. So let's bring it home to you. Are you willing to act in faith when you can't see it yet? Because that's what's going to possess your possession. How about Mark chapter 2? Let's turn over there right now. Praise God in verse 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. Glory to God. And when they could not come in nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. Now, it wasn't their house, and they're breaking up somebody's roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Now, I'm telling you, I used to preach a sermon called Four Crazy Friends, because they were all bringing him there. But the man was kind of crazy too. So we call it crazy faith. I said crazy faith. And this is the attitude of righteousness that you're going to have to stand up against people who are willing to laugh at you while you're getting your deliverance and while you're getting to the end of that job. Say amen to that. So I want to ask you, will you be accepted? Because many times we're looking to be accepted by people. And let me ask you, if you start acting in faith, will your fraternity accept you? I'm hitting on you now. Will your sorority accept you? Will your political people accept you? Will your family really accept you? I'm telling you, when this thing works, it's when you're willing to stand up in the midst of anybody who, come on, then, and you're willing to stand up and say what God said and declare that thing. Because think about it. This, and I put it down here. Let me find it here. I said that when you're doing this, this, glory to guaranteed, if you're not going, no, yeah, here it is. The devil is going to see to it that you're going to have to make a decision. I got you going now. I got you going. The devil, he can't let you break loose now. Because if you break loose, you're going to testify. I'm going to have your testimony up here. And when you testify, other people are going to see, wait a minute, God said he's no respecter of person. If he'll do it for Sister Girl, he'll do it for me too. And I'm saying this, that guaranteed, if you break through the other areas, this is probably one of the last strongholds that he's going to use. He's going to use family, relatives, friends to try to ridicule you, watch this, shame you, and move you into unrighteousness. And I'm telling you, I was there, and I had to. Time that we were just in Chicago and we started the ministry down at Lake and Pulaski, and here it was like a it was a storefront church, and people that I know that I had hobnobbed with at the corporate, they wouldn't come, they couldn't make it down there, they just couldn't make it. Boy, that was too close to Lodibar, and no, they couldn't make it. But some people came, very dear people who were just spoken to by God and came and so forth. And I remember that we were in there casting out demons one night because I taught on it, and then we cast it out. And there was a whole lot of them down there. So we cast them out. But one of them got in my car and drove it off. Now, demons do drive. I'm going to tell you that right now. So don't think they don't drive. And so put a low jack on it or something so you can track that rascal around. But anyway, so I come out, the car's gone. Now the car's gone, don't have any transportation. Now I don't have any money, don't have any transportation. I'm doing what God called me to do. I'm in the perfect will of God. And I'm now being looked like a fool out here. Here's a big regional marketing manager from IBM coming down here. Here he is, don't have but two sports coats and two pair of pants and a pair of shoes. His son doesn't have any tennis shoes yet, so forth. I mean, I'm looking bad here. And now it's Thanksgiving. Now we got to go over my mother-in-law's house, and so forth. Now, they stole the car, so I don't have anything to go over there in, so we got to catch the CTA. So here I am now, big guy, full of faith and power, on CTA, just going, and we get out there, and I'm not gonna put anything off on anybody, and I'm not mad at anybody. But they kind of laughed at me. I heard them kind of talking in the kitchen. I said, man, you see what I'm saying? But wait a minute, through faith and patience. See, it's working from the inside out. Can you stand to be blessed? See, can you stand it? Can you stand until the victory comes through, until God manifests his goodness? I'm telling you now, he said, he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I'll manifest myself to him. But if you do the will of God, he is now committed to your deliverance. Now, it's just a matter of time, I'm telling you, and I'm telling you, here come, and next thing you know, I went out there and I felt bad about it, and I'm here I am, got the man's daughter here, I done married her, here's David here, he bothering me, and we were going out there. I'm telling you, now I'm going across the street, and I got holes in my shoes, and I got been called to preach at this place, and I said, man, I got my clothes to wash, and I said, now, I got a choice. I got enough money to either fix these shoes or wash these clothes. I said, well, the family needs some clothes. I go over here, and I normally kind of get animated, when I'm preaching. But when those holes was in my shoes, I kind of slid everywhere. I was going, yeah. And Jesus said, you can be rich. And God said, you follow what I'm saying? But I stayed with it. I stood. I didn't let the devil get in my mind and tell me, go back to Minnesota, go back to IBM, go back to Tulsa. You don't belong here. They're not going to treat you right. They really don't understand you. I had to slide my way from one day into the other, and pretty soon boop, breakthrough. Something happened and things started manifesting in my life. And I'm telling you, he's no respecter of person. I'm saying Jesus is going to rise up in your boat. He's going to talk to your circumstances, because God said, I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. When you need him, call on me and I will answer you. I'll show you great and mighty things that you know not. So I'm here to tell you right now, can you stand to be blessed? I'm saying that God says, Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You see, once you step out in faith, you got to trust where you can't trace. You got to stay with God and he'll stay with you. Give God praise. That's all we got. Glory to God. Folks, I'm a firm believer that if you haven't been through nothing, you don't know nothing. You can come up here and preach, but you don't know nothing. You've been living comfortable. I'm saying, when are you going through? Because God has a destiny for you, and guaranteed if you try to fulfill it, there's a devil coming. I'm not prophesying over you. I'm just telling you, just get ready to stand, because God is with you. He's in that boat, and you're guaranteed to get to the other side. Give God some praise. Man, that was God that put that one together. Wait a minute. Can I give you one more scripture? I have one more scripture for you. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. Oh, he's coming. God told me to tell you that things are about to turn around in your life. He said, no matter what you've been through, he said that you don't even have to get rid of your enemies. He's going to run them off. Glory to God. Yeah, I got that today to tell you. Look at 1 Kings chapter 19. And he says this. He says, verse 11, and he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great storm, a strong wind, rent the mountains, and the break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire was a still, small voice. You'll always can tell the devil because he's loud. He uses a megaphone. God is still and he's small. And he said, be still and know that I'm God. And I'm telling you, that's when I think God swept me out of that, is when I got a peace in the middle of it. That's when you know faith is at its work best. It's working right in your life. Did you all get something out of this? Hearing the voice of God. Now, I didn't plan all of that for this particular teacher. So don't get on your relatives. They don't know. Don't get on your sorority sister. They don't know. Or whoever it is. Just organizations, whatever. They don't know. This is for you. And God's called you to walk by faith. But I'm telling you, where your good stuff is, it's on the other side of your faith. You start walking by faith, you're about to get rich. You're about to get healed. You're about to get delivered. You're about to get a husband. You're about to get it. You start walking by it and wait till that peace comes. When that peace comes in, it means faith is at its fullness. Something is about to break. When you don't care what they think anymore. I don't care what they think. Remember they asked me, he said, we'd like you to conduct a service and fulfill, but it's a public service now. You can't mention the name of Jesus. I said, you don't want me. You don't want me. Because there are people that are trying to get somewhere but you can't compromise. I'm not saying you got to go over here and beat everybody over the head with the Bible. I'm just saying, but if you want me to pray publicly, I got to use a name. That name saved me. That name brought me out. If you're here tonight, God has spoken to you during this time that maybe you're fighting a battle and you're fighting it by yourself because you don't know him. But what I'd like to do is introduce you to him. His name is Jesus. He saved me. He took me from being hostile and bitter to being a man full of love, loving everybody. He took me to a place where I owed everybody everything, knee deep, head over heels in debt. I haven't owed anybody anything for years. Cars, houses, everything's paid.